Let's talk books. And Catherine Ross joins me now. Kia ora, Catherine.
Hi there, how are you?
Good. How is your job during Auckland lockdown, librarian at Dio School?
So I'm still doing book talks with the girls. We just do them online. We've increased our e-catalogue collection. Obviously, last year we started working on that quite significantly quickly. So we do have a very large e-catalogue selection now of both audio and e-books. And so I still talk to the girls about books, what they should be reading. I think reading is more important than ever at the moment, and just keeping up the literacy for a start. If you do nothing else in lockdown, read, because it will keep up literacy, narrative skills, it will start conversations, and also it shuts you off from everything that's going on. You know,
that's great advice.
Yeah. So you're not thinking about COVID case numbers or community transmission. You can just shut off. And that's the same for children, adults, teenagers. A good book can just take you away, even if it's only for half an hour. So we're working really hard with the girls to make sure that they're keeping their reading up and doing that. And also with the staff at Dio, I'm trying my best to get them all reading as well and sending out recommendations and things.
Are you keen on recording your reading? My girl Hazel, she's 10, and she's just started a little blog, not for other people, not for a public thing, but just so that she can write down after she's finished a book what she thought of it, and otherwise it can feel a bit intangible once you finish a book, you put it down and move on to the next one.
Absolutely, 100. I think that's an awesome thing that she's doing as well. And it's so important as well, I think, to share that with, she can share it with her friends and things as well. It's so important for kids to hear from their peers about what they've liked and what they haven't liked as well. So it's such an awesome thing that she's doing. I'm so pleased she's doing that for her. And she can talk to friends and family about it as well.
We've turned comments and likes off because I don't want her writing a blog post and then seeing how well she did based on how many likes she gets. But I quite like the idea of sending the blog by email to friends or whatever so that they can see what she's reading, yeah.
Absolutely, I think that's a great idea. As you say, it's much better to be offline, but it just means that if she's sharing her feelings with friends and family and things, it's word of mouth, things get out, and it's so important. And also, for her writing skills and her narrative skills, it's what an amazing thing to be doing.
You have your own blog, and it's quite useful for us because we get through so many books when we chat to you that it's quite nice to have somewhere to send people. So at the conclusion of this chat today, you'll update your blog and then people can find the titles and details of the books that you're recommending. So thank you for that.
Okay, no problem.
What's your theme today?
Okay, so the theme today is remixes. So, you know that old...
Oh, wait, thing. I've got one more for you, Catherine.
Yeah.
Hey, my daughter really loved that graphic novel that you recommended last time. I'm just going to try and find... Was it something to do with a refugee?
Was it When Stars Are Scattered?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. It's a beautiful...
She got so much out of that.
I know, an ugly cry at the end, my goodness.
okay, yeah. People can find that on the website if they want to look it up. Thanks, over
to
you.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm delighted to hear that. Thank you so much. It's always so pleasing when I hear that someone's enjoyed a book I've recommended. It's amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so my theme is remixes. So there's that old saying that goes, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So I think the books I've chosen today are absolutely the perfect example of that. So the literary world has appropriated the term remix from the musical world, and we use it to describe a novel that uses the storyline from an existing and well-known story but puts a new modern twist on it. So I touched on it briefly when I was talking about graphic novels last time. I was talking about a graphic novel that had taken the story Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, used those characters and that basic plot but set it in modern times. So obviously that requires some changes to the story and updates to adapt it to a modern setting. And I think I found in my experience that remix novels are a particularly good way to introduce teenagers to what we would term as the classics, because often placing characters into contemporary settings with things that they can relate to, like mobile phones, social media, that sort of thing, will allow them to connect much more with the story and empathise with the characters. So I'm not saying it's a replacement for the classics at all. It's just a good introduction and a good way of connecting them to those stories.
Okay. And you're going to start with some book recommendations for the younger crowds that are 10 to 12 years old.
Yeah, definitely. So the one I'm going to talk about is part of a series called The Twisted Tales. And this is produced by Disney's publishing arm. Of course, Disney's got fingers in every pie. And so what they've done is taken these classic fairy tales, but obviously the ones that we know and recognise from Disney films, and they change one element of the original story and then reimagine the story the consequences of that change.
That is cool.
It's a really good idea. And there's a lot of talk, quite rightly, in the last couple of decades about the fairy tales and this damsel in distress storyline where you're waiting for the man to come and rescue you. So this is, a lot of them are turning that on its head, which is always a good thing. So you've got things like Cinderella, where the evil queen gives the poisoned apple to the prince instead of Snow White. Snow White. And Cinderella, where she never manages to try on that glass slipper, so she doesn't get to be the princess and marry the prince. So just interesting elements of what would happen if one little thing changed. So there are plenty of others, including a retake on Frozen, which I'm not sure we can call a classic fairy tale, but a very well-known one. I'm going to talk about this one because it's one of the best ones that I've read. So it's called Once Upon a Dream, and it is a remix of Sleeping Beauty. So here you've got the handsome prince, and he has dashed the dragon, and he's climbed the vines, and he's in the castle ready to give Aurora her true love's kiss and save the kingdom. So far, so same. But instead of waking her when he kisses her, he falls asleep as well and falls under the spell. So suddenly there's no one left to rescue Aurora, and oh dear, she'll just have to do it herself. So the other interesting element about this is that Liz Bracewell, who is the author, has created this idea that Maleficent's spell created a kind of communal psychosis of everybody in the castle, and they're all living in this fantasy world created by her while they're asleep. So life is carrying on as normal for them, except that she's manipulating it. So she has locked the king and queen in the dungeon. She is the beautiful queen. And so it's now up to Aurora to just look at reality and see the little fractures and the little problems and work it out and solve the problem herself.
So that sounds cool.
It's a really interesting story, an interesting take. My only comment would be it's a little bit long, especially for this age group. Just goes on a little bit too long. So just be wary of that.
Sure.
Okie doke. So now I'm going to move on to ages 12 plus. And the only reason I say that is not because it's explicit or naughty or anything like that, just because you just need that a little bit more mature reading level to be able to engage with the stories. So the first one I'm going to talk about is by Ibi Zuboy, and I have spoken about her before because she co-wrote one of the verse novels that I talked about a while ago. So an incredibly talented author. This isn't a verse story, it's a remix, but just beautiful writing. She just writes so well. So this one is called Pride, so you may guess that it is a retelling of that very famous Jane Austen story, Pride and Prejudice. So this one's really cleverly done. It keeps the heart and the key components of Austen's story, but it brings it right up to date. So you've got an African-American characters, and they're living in a modern world with social media, university, mobile phones, all of that sort of thing. And it's set in a suburb in Brooklyn, which used to be a poor multicultural neighbourhood that has started to become gentrified. And our main character, Zuri, her family, so her mum, dad and four sisters, are not able to afford to live there for much longer. And I think that that is really something very topical that's going on in cities all over the world, and in particular in New Zealand. So when this very wealthy family buys the biggest house on the block that's always been abandoned and run down, renovates it all and then moves in, Zuri is already prejudiced against them. Can you see what I did there? straight away. And the story goes on from there, and it is a very close retelling of the original Pride and Prejudice, but with this sort of twist, modern twist. And I think that the important thing is that it's relatable and the characters are likeable and empathetic. And I'm going to cause controversy here by saying, unlike Austin's original characters.
I can't defend Austin because I haven't read that one, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there shaking their fists at their radios.
Absolutely, my mum included, probably. But these, I just feel that the setting and the characters are far more empathetic and connectable to young people and young adults than the original. Mm. So this is a good way of introducing them to the story without that Austin language and setting. So that's really cool. The next book I'm going to talk about is one that's probably quite well known anyway, because it's called The Big Stir. It's by a New Zealand author. And it spent, I think, 20, 25 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. So it's a big deal. It's called These Violent Delights, and it's by Chloe Gong, who's an amazing person. I saw her speak at the Auckland Writers Festival. When I took my students, and she, boy, is she a self-confident, articulate young woman, and amazing. So she's actually an ex-Rangitoto College student who's now at university in America, and she wrote this novel when she was 19 years old.
And she's only not bad.
She's only 21 now, and she's got a huge deal with a publishing house for loads more to come. So this is the first one. She's got a second one. This was published at the end of last year. The second one in the story is published at the end of this year, so it's still to come out. So this book is set in Shanghai in 1926. And so you've got sort of two gangs that run the underground crime network in Shanghai. You've got the Chinese Scarlet Gang and the White Flowers, who are Russian, and they're sworn enemies. And you've got Juliet Kai, who is the heir of the Scarlet Gang, and Roma Montagov, who will one day run the White Flowers. So you can probably already pick up by now that this is a remake or a remix of Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare's iconic play. So having said that, it was heavily marketed as a Romeo and Juliet remix and really pushed. But I think that short of the name and that idea of the warring families, actually this is more about the history and atmosphere of Shanghai and this great concept of a supernatural monster.
I agree. I've read some of this one. I think that it's at its best when it's evoking that 1920s Shanghai. Yep. I actually think if you came for the Romeo and Juliet story, you might be a bit disappointed. But if you take it as a kind of a window into that world, it's probably a better way to read it. Hey,
absolutely, I agree completely. And she clearly it's a topic in an era she loves. You can see that when she's writing about it. She's done her research. I think the Romeo and Juliet thing may have been a little bit of a publicity hook that the publishing came up with, without meaning to belittle that. But it is definitely, it's a book worthy of reading, but I'm not sure, as you say, I think you'd be disappointed if you went for the Romeo and Juliet.
I think, this is not a spoiler because you realise this pretty quickly, the love affair between Romeo and Juliet had possibly happened in the past, and there's not so much. Anyway, we'll let people decide for themselves, but it's by Chloe Gong, New Zealand author, and it's called These Violent Delights. Would say you recommended it for ages 12 plus, plenty of violence and a fair bit of swearing as well. I can't remember about the sexual content, but there's a little bit of that, I think, going on.
Yeah, not too much. The writing lacks some finesse and literacy and could have done with a really good editor and a red pen. But I tell you what, I'm a middle-aged woman. It wasn't aimed at me. It was aimed at my students, and without exception, the students that have read it have absolutely adored it and loved it. And they've come to me and wanted to talk about the play and read the original play. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And for the sort of what we call YA, I suppose, ages 14 plus.
Yeah. So this is, and again, only because it needs a little bit of reading maturity rather than content. So some of you may already be aware of the Hogarth Shakespeare series. which is a series of famous modern authors who've been asked to reimagine particularly Shakespeare stories. So one of them is Margaret Atwood, who is a personal hero of mine. She has done one which is incredible, remakes of The Tempest, Taming of the Shrew, Macbeth. But they are more adult ones. So the one I'm going to talk about is specifically aimed at a young adult audience, and it's called New Boy, and it's by Tracy Chevalier. So it's set in an elementary school in Washington, D.C. in the 1970s, and it's a remake of Shakespeare's Othello, and it's brilliantly done, absolutely wonderfully done. And she does, in the space of just one school day, she has all of this disaster and calamity happening, and she just creates this beautiful atmosphere. And just like Shakespeare's play, it's frustrating and it's infuriating, and it's just so well captured. So you've got the new boy, Osi, who is from Ghana, and he causes a huge stir when he arrives on the playground to line up for the first day because he's the only black student in the school. And when he is paired with Dee, who is the most beautiful, that everyone, including the teachers, is talking about it, the school bully, Ian, decides to do something about it. So it's beautifully retold, highly recommended, and will really grab young adults to the story of Othello.
That was... Now, what was the name of that one? Sorry, I lost it.
New Boy.
Okay.
Yep, by Tracy Chevalier.
And maybe one more before we say goodbye?
Yep, one more quick one. A little bit to end on, a little bit of nonsense. This one is Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. This could easily have been in Austen's repertoire had she lived a bit longer and taken a lot of hallucinogenic drugs. It's a little bit of a parody, but it is also, to be honest, a tongue-in-cheek love letter to Austen, really. The person that has written it is clearly a huge fan, knows the story and knows Austen's writing inside out. So basically, he's taken the story, and there are large chunks of Austen's text in it. So it's the original story, the original language, but interwoven this idea of sea monsters and created this incredible world around it. So it just removes the characters. They're exactly the same characters with exactly the same situation, but removes them from that Georgian English genteel society and places them into the slightly science fiction world. And it just...
Great.
It's just a love story, and it's so good for introducing young adults to that style of writing.
Wonderful recommendations. As per, Catherine's going to put them up on her blog. You've been listening to Catherine Ross with recommendations for younger readers. Thanks so much, and good luck getting through the rest of lockdown.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye-bye.